Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
This whole month we have been talking about the story of Ruth. Now, I'm hoping that you have all taken the time at some point this month to either read the book of Ruth or listen to the book of Ruth. It's very short. It's only four chapters. But if you haven't, basically, the story of Ruth is a foreigner. She lives and was born in the country of Moab, which is an enemy country of Israel. An Israelite moves to Moab, gets married. They have a family, and Ruth is a daughter-in-law of this woman. And the husbands all die, and this woman who moved to Moab, Naomi, she's heading back to Israel, and Ruth says, you know what, I'm giving up all my past, and I'm going to stay with you, and I'm going to follow you. And they move back to Israel, and they don't have anything, and so Ruth ends up going and working in fields to kind of pick up what the harvesters are leaving behind. And there's this man named Boaz who ends up taking care of Ruth. And eventually we find out that Boaz is in the position where he might be able to marry Ruth and redeem the family. And he goes and he goes to somebody else that's first in line for that duty, and he says he doesn't want to do it. So Ruth and Boaz end up getting married, and their family is restored. And we find out that actually through the marriage of Ruth and Boaz, they have a family, and through that family line, we get King David in the history of Israel, who ends up being an ancestor of Jesus. Okay? That's a sum up. Okay, and so we've been talking about that all month and looking at different things that we can pull from this story and things that we can see and lessons we should learn. One of the things, probably the last thing we were going to talk about here in this series is the contrast and the significance that we see in the book of Ruth about relationships. And this is one of those things that is very significant for me and weighs very heavy on my heart. Because as I have gone through my life and gone through my married life, I have seen a number of marriages and relationships fall apart in spectacular disaster. There have been times when there have been friends that I have considered to be very close friends, like they had an incredible marriage and they were the example to follow and they were people that they were going to make it through, and then one day we find out they've split up. And then I pray and I pray and I pray and it doesn't get better and they still split up. Or you find out that somebody cheated and they don't want to fix it. Or you find out that there's been abuse going on and they need to get out of that relationship. Or, I mean, you guys name it. Some of you have walked that road personally. Some of you are in the midst of that kind of horrible destruction in the moment. And others of you, you've got family, you've got friends, you have seen people so close to you and seen those relationships fall apart and the pain and the agony and the destruction that it causes. I think all of us have some kind of experience with it and know how heavy that is. And we see that in our lives, and then we come to the book of Ruth and it just like is so different. the story in Ruth is so different. Why is it so different? What is it that makes it so different? Because when we look at our world and we see that pain and we see that hurt and we see that trauma, and then we look at Ruth, there's such a contrast. We go to the world and the world says, you know what, you need to do what you want, live what you want, like live your truth, you do you, right? Like whatever you believe that's good for you, you make sure that you hold on to what you want to do. You do whatever you got to do what you want to do. Do. Get that money, get that power, get that success. Let nobody get in your way. You get what you want. And of course, don't let anyone get at you. Don't be vulnerable. Don't let yourself be vulnerable. Don't let anyone see you bleed. Don't let anyone see you cry. You be strong and you be dominant and you take what you want. It's like we're in this world where the men are told that you just got to go get who you want. Get who you want. And if you're not happy with that person anymore, then you're not happy with them and you can just move on. Get the person that you want. If you're not happy with them, then find someone that does make you happy. You need to be free to have whoever you want and do whatever you want. You need to have freedom. If you're a man, then you need to have the manly guts to have who you want and to be free. And if you're not free, you're not a man. And women are kind of told this, you do whatever it is you've got to do to get the attention that you want. You do whatever it takes to get the attention you want, whether that's what you do with your body, what you do with your appearance, what you do in relationships, what you're offering in relationships, how you're attracting people, how you're manipulating people, how you're dealing with the drama and the gossip, and how you're manipulating the people around you. You do whatever you've got to do to get what you want and get the attention that you want. You've got to use whatever weaknesses other people have and the men around you have to get the attention and to have power over them, to manipulate them. Well, if you don't do A, B, and C, then I'm not doing A, B, and C or D. You're told you've got to be wanted more than anyone else. And that is your power. Men want freedom and women want the power of, like, they're wanted and so they get to call the shots. Now, I know I'm simplifying it here. I know there's much broader and there's much bigger things in the mix here. But that's some of what is discussed and some of what is told in our world and around us in our culture about how relationships are built and how we approach relationships. But when we look at the book of Ruth, we don't see that. In the book of Ruth, when we look at this pathway of Ruth and Naomi and then Ruth and Boaz, we see something totally different. We see that Ruth doesn't look at the situation and say, I want to stay home and I want to stay where I am. She decides to stay with Naomi and go with Naomi and give up everything that she had grown up knowing and having and say, you know what? I am following you. I am going with you. I'm going to provide for you. You are my mother and your God is going to be my God and I'm surrendering all that to give to you. Ruth takes care of Naomi, even though even though Naomi really has nothing for her. Boaz looks at Ruth, who is coming into his field and picking up all the scraps and the leftovers, and he goes and he says, "All my men, you protect her, you watch her, you, Ruth, stick with the other women, then they'll make sure that you're taken care of, and you make sure you get water, and you make sure you get in the shade, and by the way, after you're done picking up all the scraps, I'm actually going to give you more." And then we see one part that Ruth actually goes and in a way proposes to Boaz. And Boaz, who's there and there, he's sleeping at the harvesting field, and Ruth shows up and basically proposes in the middle of the night. Boaz doesn't, like, if you watch any show or movie nowadays, like, if a woman comes and proposes to you in the middle of the night, something's going to happen. Right? Boaz says, "Wow. You stay here. We'll make sure that you get up and you go back to your family early enough. I'm going to give you some extra food, and I'll take care of this situation." And then Boaz goes and he actually goes and finds the other man that is first in line to marry Ruth and redeem the family, and offers that duty to him. And we already know that Boaz loves Ruth, that Boaz has this great desire for Ruth. And he goes and he says, "Listen, it's your right and it's your opportunity before me to have this." And he offers it to this other man. And when he rejects it, then he goes and takes it. But he offers it to another man first. And then Boaz marries Ruth. We see in Ruth chapter 3, verse 10, during this whole proposal thing, this is what Boaz says. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character." All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Our culture and our world approaches relationships based on what you want, based on desire. And they say, you know what, if you want something, you've got to get it and you've got to hold on to it. And if you really want something, then you've really got to hold on to it. And you've really got to make sure that you hold on to it, because you got to hold on to it or else you're going to lose it. Is this working well for me? Okay. So, that's not working real great. Okay. We come to these situations, we come to relationships, and we're like, well, relationships are like eggs, right? You gotta hold on to it, right? And you can't let it go. You hold on to it. But the reality is, relationships aren't like an egg in the shell. That's what a relationship is like. That's what a relationship is like. It's there. It doesn't have a shell. It is there in the palm of your hand. And if you follow the world's advice on what to do in relationships, and you're like, it's all about the desire. It's all about how much you want it. It's all about the desire that you have, and it's all about squeezing. Folks, is this a good situation? Do I have an egg? Do I have toothpaste? Do I have a mess? See, the reality is that as you have a relationship, if you want to keep that relationship, it's not about how hard you squeeze. It's about whether or not you're going to honor it as it is. See, my job is not to squeeze it and crush it and hold on to it. My job is to keep it open and keep it here and protect it and let it be and protect it by showing it great care and honor. See, I keep this by keeping it in my open hand, not by squeezing it, not by forcing it, but by making sure that it is always protected, but not crushed. You see, it's honor, not desire, that builds the best relationships. Honor, not desire, that builds the best relationships. And I think that's what we see in Ruth. I think we see that in how Ruth operates. I think that's how we see Boaz operate, is that there is this incredible amount of honor, this incredible amount of holding this fragile thing in the palm of their hands without squeezing, without crushing, without forcing, without manipulating, without destroying the other person and forcing everything to happen. They hold it in this open hand. Boaz goes to another man and says, hey, do you want this relationship first? Do you want this opportunity, yes or no? Because I am holding this open in my hands. And it is honor that creates such an incredible relationship that we see with Ruth and Boaz. And that's where we get this line of David, and this line of Jesus is coming from this reality that the strong and best relationship comes from one of honor, not one based on desire. Because desire either has us squeeze it to death or throw it away. In our relationships. And I think this is true for our marriage and relationships, our dating and marriage relationships, but also in our family and in our friendships. We need to face this shift. We need to embrace this reality that we see in the book of Ruth, that is, that honor, not desire, needs to be the foundation of the best relationships. We need to treat other people with honor, even those that may be in opposition to us or may be enemies or may get in the way. Boaz went and treated this other man with honor, even though he could possibly get in the way of what he wanted. You need to honor your spouse. You need to honor the person that you're with. You need to honor your future spouse. You need to honor God. That's the point here. This is what we need to get at, is we need to stop figuring out if what the desire is and figure out what does it mean to honor others. And I'll just throw this out there. Respect and honor are different. Respect is about maintaining boundaries and accepting the boundaries as they are. You respect the law. You follow the law, that's a boundary, you respect it. When I say no, you stop, that's showing respect because I put up a boundary. Honor is when you elevate something, when you lift it up, when you hold it as more important than it even is presently by definition. Honor is about taking the boundary and elevating it. That's honor. We don't usually talk that way in our culture, but that's the difference. Respect is about the boundaries and holding the yes is yes and the no is no, and honor is about lifting somebody up and elevating them as more important, more valuable. And we need to honor our spouse. We need to honor our future spouse. We need to honor others in our relationships. We need to honor our coworkers. And most importantly, we need to honor God. And we do that in a number of ways. Where honor, not desire, builds the best relationships, we need to honor God by living in a way that elevates Him, that worships Him, that treats what He says as more important than even everything else that we hear, which includes forgiving other people. We honor God when we forgive others. We honor God when we see the sin in our lives and confess it. And we come to Him and say, I have broken your rules. I have disrespected you. And I need to come and I need to offer up myself and confess that what I have done is wrong. Admit what you have done. We honor God when we are generous to others. Not based on what we can get back or the debt that we can create or how people owe us back or how somebody can you can use that to manipulate, but in generosity of giving without requirement of return. It's a matter of humbly going before God and not demanding of Him and saying, I'm doing this for you, so, or I'm praying this to you, and so now you're required to follow me and do what I want, God. But it's about surrendering to Him and elevating Him and saying, you are higher, you're stronger, you are better. When you honor God, that builds a better relationship. And it lasts longer than the momentary feeling of desire. Women, you need to honor your husbands or your future husbands. Don't belittle them. Don't nag. Build them up. Don't play to their weaknesses. Honor them. Acknowledge their weaknesses. Protect them because of those weaknesses. Men, honor your wife and honor the women around you. Protect them. Give them grace. Be thankful for what they do. Be the safest place for them to exist. When they are struggling with their emotions or with stress or the chaos and the pressure that they feel from everybody else, you need to be the person that doesn't take advantage and squeeze in those moments of vulnerability, but you need to be the safest place for them to be honored and protected. I I believe that if we build relationships based on honor, not desire, our relationships will be better. If you see this in your marriages, if you see this when you're dating, if you see this in your family, with your kids, with your parents, with your friends, with your coworkers, with people around you, and you stop allowing desire to be the driving force behind those things, you start leaning into honor instead, you will find that marriages are better, that friendships are better, that families are better, that your business is better. It's very convenient to just say, well, I'm squeezing it, and if it breaks, then I'm not going to bother with it. I'm going to throw it away. Or if it couldn't handle the pressure, then it's not worth having. But the example I see in the book of Ruth is one that says that honor, not desire, builds a better relationship. The worship team is going to come back up, and they're going to lead us in two or three more songs here. And this may be the situation for you where, okay, you're feeling this, you agree with this, God is affirming something in you, and you just want to spend these next two, three songs just praising God and just pouring your heart out and saying, yes, I want to honor you, God. That's right. I'm on the right path. This is what I should be doing. And you want to just pour your heart out to Him. You do that. This may be something where He's really stirring in your heart and you're like, man, I need to live this better, or I've got people in my life where they need to hear this and they need to know this, and God is stirring inside of you this spirit of what we call intercessory prayer, where you intercede on behalf of other people and you pray for them and you pray, God, please help them to build a relationship of honor. Please work in their life to build a relationship of honor and not desire, and to not allow that desire to be the driving force in them. Then you do that during these songs and you pray and you take this moment to really pray and intercede on their behalf. Others of you here are in the place where God is really stirring inside of you with this matter of your own life, and you're thinking, man, I have been leaning way too heavily into this idea that desire is all that matters. That if I don't want it, then it's not good. If I don't feel it, then I'm not going to bother with it. And I need to start living a life of honor that honors my spouse, that honors my family, that honors my parents, that honors my kids, that honors my boss, that honors my coworkers, that honors even my enemies. And you have been feeling like the world has just directed how you have done relationships for so long, and you know that you've messed it up. And God is saying, it's time for a change. It's time for you to do it like Ruth and Boaz. And you need to confess that to God. You need to honor Him by confessing to Him and allowing Him to now direct your path. Some of you may be in the place where God is already giving you a very clear statement of what it is you need to do in your relationships next. And during these songs, I want you to pour out that heart. I want you to lean into what He's saying. Continue that conversation. Listen further for Him. And let Him speak to your heart and build you up, so that as you go from this place and as you are here, your heart is made steadfast in what it is that He's saying to you. I'm not sharing this message so that any of you can sit here and feel, oh man, I really screwed up. and I'm not good enough, and I failed God, and I'm worthless to him. That is the enemy speaking to you, if that's how you feel. God's going to show you what's broken and what needs to be changed, absolutely. But he's not going to leave you feeling guilty and ashamed. God wants to forgive. He wants to heal. And he wants to build your present relationship or your next relationship with honor. Because honor, not desire, builds the best relationships.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.